Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and we want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our program this morning. We hope that you will become a regular listener. At the end of our broadcast, there will be given meeting times of our services at Harrodsburg. We cordially invite you to any of all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We want to make a special announcement today. Today we begin a gospel meeting with Philip Shoemake of Lexington, Kentucky. We will be meeting at our regular times on Sunday and each evening, Monday through Friday, at 7 p.m. We invite you to come with an open Bible and an open mind and search the scriptures with us, and we hope that you'll take opportunity of this gospel meeting this week beginning today. We have been looking at the subject of the kingdom of God. We have thus far examined the throne of David. We've examined the kingdom prophecies of Daniel and other passages in Isaiah. And we've shown the fulfillment of that kingdom in the first century at the time of the Roman Empire, as we read and discussed in Acts 2. We have also discussed at length Matthew chapter 24 and 25 to show the context of these chapters, deal with the destruction of Jerusalem, and the prediction that Jesus made, beginning in verse 1 of Matthew 24 through verse 36, and then began to answer the third question asked by the disciples, and that was, when was he coming? And that question of the uncertainty of the second coming of Christ is discussed beginning in verse 37 of Matthew 24 to the end of chapter 25. Last week, we discussed the beginning of the second coming of Christ. We want to conclude that study this morning. What about the manner of his coming? He is coming as he went into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 9, at the ascension of Christ, we read, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up in a cloud, received out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward the heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. As he went up to heaven is how he will come back. He is coming in person, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we will always be with the Lord. According to Revelation 1, verse 7, every eye will be behold him. Every eye shall see him, both the righteous and the wicked, even the ones that pierced him and put him to death, according to that passage. He will come without warning as a thief in the night. We discussed this in Matthew chapter 25 in the parables of preparedness. We can also read this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2 that tells us that he will come as a thief in the night. Peter reaffirms that same teaching in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 4 through 11. He is coming with great power and glory. He will descend with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. This is the way the Bible describes the second coming of Jesus Christ. But what we need to do for a few minutes is explain very explicitly that Christ is not coming to do some things that many believe that he is. Number one, he's not coming to establish a kingdom. As we have already studied in great length in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, Mark 1 and verse 15, Mark 9 and verse 1, and Acts 1:9, along with the second chapter of Acts, these passages clearly state that the kingdom is spoken as in existence. We read this from Paul's own statement in Colossians 1, verse 13, when we are told that we are translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. In Revelation 1, verse 9, John the Apostle, the author of the Revelation letter that we will examine later in this particular series, said that he was a companion and brother in the kingdom in Revelation 1 and verse 9. He sits on David's throne now. We looked at the throne promise in 2 Samuel 7, verse 11 through 14. And on the day of Pentecost, that passage was quoted by Peter as being fulfilled in Acts 2, verse 29 through 32, that the resurrected Christ had ascended back into heaven and was at the right hand of God, ruling and reigning on David's throne. Christ was raised from the dead in order to be exalted at God's right hand, to rule and reign over the throne of David. Please read Ephesians 1, verse 20 through 23. He is not coming back to restore the Palestinians to the Jews. God has already fulfilled every promise he ever made to the Jews concerning the land of Palestine. God does not owe the Jews one foot of that land, and we read this and studied it in Joshua chapter 21, verse 43 through 45. As we have already studied, there are necessary elements in a literal restoration of the Jews to Palestine that the New Testament reveals will never happen. Number one, the restoration of the law of Moses. That was nailed to the cross. The restoration of the Levitical priesthood. That was part of the old law. The restoration of Jewish genealogies. That was destroyed at the destruction of Jerusalem in A.D. 70. The restoration of the temple worship and bloody animal sacrifices. That went out when the law was nailed to the cross. No longer is Jerusalem the center of worship, and animal sacrifices are no longer acceptable because the sacrifice of Christ was one time for all time. Read Hebrews 9, verse 28. He is not coming back to convert the Jews. Behold, now is the acceptable time, and behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. There is no second chance to be saved after this life. Please consider the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. The gospel is the power of God to save, according to Paul in Romans 1 and verse 16. God's Jew today is the one who has the same kind of faith that Abraham had, and we can read that in Romans 4 verse 16, and also in Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. He is not coming back to reign on the earth for 1,000 years. Christ is now reigning as king, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25 and 26. What about Revelation 20, 1 through 6? Well, we will discuss Revelation 20 in a later time in great detail, but it must be remembered that the book of Revelation is a highly figurative book, and in studying it, we should never attach a meaning to a figurative passage that is not in harmony with all plain passages on the same subject. Note that in Revelation 1, verse 1 through 3, God is discussing things which must shortly come to pass, things that were signified by his angel. John said concerning his kingdom, "My kingdom is not of this world." Jesus said that himself in John 18, verse 36. He also ran when they tried to make him king in John chapter 6 and verse 15. Therefore, if this symbolic chapter is to conform with the rest of the Bible, we must not attach any meaning to it that is not otherwise taught in the Bible. It must be able to be reconciled. So if Christ is not coming to do all of these things, what is he coming to do? Number one, to provide an end of the preparation time. In the parables that we studied in Matthew 25, we were given the instruction to prepare for the suddenness and the unpredictability of the second coming of Christ. Thus, when Christ comes, the preparation time is over. Then we will not have to prepare, for now it will be here. He is coming back to raise the dead, both the good and the bad. We read this in John 5, verse 28, that indicates that all that are in the grave will hear his voice, and come forth, those to resurrection of life or the resurrection of condemnation. This means one resurrection of both the good and the bad. In Acts 24:15, it was declared that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This one resurrection is to include both the just and the unjust. These passages also indicate that they will be raised in the same hour. The resurrection shall be at the last day. We can read this extensively in John chapter 6, verse 40, 44 through 45, and also you might look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 7 and 8. There is only one resurrection, and no room for two resurrections with 1,000 years between them. The resurrection of the righteous will be at the last day, John 6, verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him at the last day. John 6, 44, no man will come to me except the Father which has sent him draws him, and I will raise him on the last day. And John 6:54, whoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him at the last day. Note, all these things say the last day. Judgment of the wicked shall be at the last day. John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. Therefore, the resurrection of the righteous and the judgment of the wicked will be on the same day. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 is often misapplied by the premillennialists. The question under consideration at this writing was whether or not the righteous living at the time of Christ's return would have any advantage over the righteous that had already departed from this life. Paul shows that the righteous living will not have any advantage over the dead, for the righteous dead would be raised first, and they, together with the righteous living at that time, would be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. The word first in no way implies more than one resurrection. It's talking about order. He is coming for the judgment of all men, in Revelation 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work, what it should be. Acts 17:30-31, God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by his Son, Jesus Christ. There can be no escape or shifting the blame. Each one will give an account of himself to God, Romans 14:12. Other events to occur at the second coming of Christ. The living will be changed according to 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. Christ will deliver up the kingdom to his Father, 1 Corinthians 15:22-28, that we previously read. His reign will not cease until this takes place. This passage proved that Christ is now reigning and that the kingdom is now in existence. Jesus could not deliver up the kingdom to God when he comes again unless the kingdom already is established. When Christ comes, then comes the end. No time for the 1,000-year reign. And finally, the earth will be destroyed. According to 2 Peter 3:10-11, every element will be dissolved with fervent heat. All these things will take place at the second coming of Christ. In all the things that we just examined, there is nothing about a rapture, there is nothing about a 7 years of tribulation, there is nothing about a 1,000-year reign upon the earth, and there is nothing about Jesus ever setting foot on the earth again. When he ascended to the Father, he will never step foot on the earth again. When he comes back to judge us and to raise all the dead and to give the punishment to the wicked and a reward to the righteous, he will do so, and we will meet him in the air. Any further details are simply speculation, but the Bible is quite clear. We read book, chapter, and verse to give us everything that will happen at the second coming of Christ. We need to be prepared for that day, that we might not be caught off guard, that we might be able to hear the words, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." We need to use our time in preparing to meet our Creator and our Savior in judgment. And this is God's time for us to do so. Let us not be found unprepared. Thank you for listening today, and we hope